Hello.
Hello.
Yes. We're there. Hi. Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Just seems like this week was maybe not the easiest week to be thankful. I just know there were a lot of things going on in our body, in our fellowship, and during the worship. I just felt that I needed to first share this scripture before I get started. And in the natural, you know, it was a tough week. There were people lost. There were different things that went on. But in the spirit, we as Christians are more than conquerors, it says in the Word. And in Romans 8, 37, 39, it says, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I just wanted to encourage you guys this week that we serve an awesome God. And so we're going through discipleship. We're going through discipleship. We've done a few weeks teaching on that, and we're going to do a few more weeks yet to come. And let's just get right into it here. I wanted to define the word disciple once again. Ray did that a couple weeks back, but as I looked into it a little further, he did a great job, by the way. I'm just saying. I looked into it a little bit further, and there were some interesting things that I sort of saw. First of all, Webster says, "Someone who accepts and helps to spread the teaching of a famous person." That's what the Webster's Dictionary says. The New Bible Dictionary says, "Pupil, a learner, to learn." It's basically a pupil of a teacher, straightforward. Then in the Free Dictionary, it says, "An active adherent, as of a movement or philosophy." And that's the one that Ray sort of brought up. And we see an adherent, which is something that we know puts two parts together. I'm a little bit slower, so I wanted to look up that word adherent just to get the full sort of idea of what it meant. And it's actually a term used in botany, or the study of science and plants. Study of plants. And it means joined but not united, used of dissimilar parts or organs. And that "not united" kind of bothered me. I thought, what does that mean? So I looked up "united." And it says, we'll keep going here. It says, "combined into a single entity." And as I thought of that, you know, my thoughts were brought back to when I was growing up. I had an uncle that was an orchardist on the side. It was kind of his hobby. And he had one tree that he would take other trees and he would graft bits of that tree into this one tree trunk. And I think at one point he had about 5 different fruits coming off of this one tree. And they were very healthy and they grew very good fruit. And I thought, you know, what a great picture of us as the body of Christ. Jesus, of course, being that main center trunk. But each one of us are being grafted into that can produce fruit. And it doesn't always look the same. God made each of us individually and gave us a uniqueness. So I just thought, you know, what a neat picture of this word disciple if you follow it all the way through here. And then, of course, the scripture that came to mind was John 15. And, of course, that's Jesus, the true vine. And it says, "I am the true grapevine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father. And how many of us want to bring glory to the Father? I know I do. So why a disciple? That is the title that I was given to speak on this week, and it's why a disciple. And guess what? I found the answer. It's actually in Matthew 28:18-19. So we can all go home and have turkey now. So I'll just tell you the answer. No, actually I will. I will go a little further with it. But Matthew 28:18-19 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, growing up and in different services and different things, I remember times where the emphasis of that scripture was put on the word go. So in other words, you know, stop what you're doing right now, figure out what God wants, and then go, whether it be to another country or this or that or the other thing. But looking into this sort of phrase here, in the Greek, it actually means as you go, or on your way, or even in some terms it says as you were. So in other words, and then the real emphasis is actually on the disciple part. So go, make disciples, is the actual, where the emphasis and commandment is in that verse. So what we're actually doing is, you know, keep doing what you're doing, but make disciples. And we're all in a strategic place right now in our lives. Depends who we're all rubbing shoulders with. We're all rubbing shoulders with different people. So right there where you're at, I think, is the main idea here, that we need to make disciples and not wait for that distant future point when we can go. And not to say that there are not people that are sent, and we know that, because there's many people in our congregation right now that are out doing great things in the world, and we are commanded to do that as well. But the main point here is that right now, each one of us can be making disciples. And so I just want to encourage you in that. Historically speaking, and I think it's important to look at discipleship in Jesus' time, because that's where he sort of taught out of in his day and age. So basically, the Jewish children were taught by their parents till about the age of 6. At 6, the boys and girls would go down to the local synagogue, and they would learn the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, and beyond, and basically study that alongside of a little bit of math and then all the traditions that were sort of taught in that day, the Jewish traditions and ceremonies. And then at age 12, generally, most of the boys and girls would be accepted into the community as a productive part of the community, or a man and a woman. And at age 12, they would start to learn their trade and get into amalgamated into society. There were those, though, that were a little bit more astute and studied harder, and the boys would be able to go for another 3 years of training, at the end of which they would have the Torah memorized, as well as a lot of the books of the prophets. And then upon completion of that, would start a period of discipleship. And I just wanted to read a short excerpt, which I thought captured this quite well. At this point, at age 15, and it says, a few of the most outstanding students sought permission to study with a famous rabbi, often leaving home to travel with him for a lengthy period of time. These students were called talmidim in Hebrew, which is translated disciple. There is much more to talmidim than what we call a student. A student wants to know what the teacher knows for the grade, to complete the class, to get a degree, or even out of respect for the teacher. A Talmidim wants to be like the teacher. That is, to become what the teacher is. That meant that students were passionately devoted to their rabbi and noted everything he said or did. This meant that rabbi-Talmidim relationship was a very intense and personal system of education. As the rabbi lived and taught, his understandings of the scripture to the student listened and watched and imitated so to become like him. And eventually, he would become the teacher, passing on a lifestyle to his own talmid. And that generally happened at about age 30, and as we see is when Jesus started his ministry. So reading that, I think it gives us a little bit more of a picture of the Great Commandment, where it says, go make disciples. I think in our, at least maybe in the Western society, a little bit we've thought we need to go get people saved, go on with our day, you know, get them to the altar, pray. That's good. Let's go get some more people. But really, there needs to be more of a commitment there, a commitment for training and teaching and going further. And this is what Jesus is saying when he says to go make disciples. We see also in the early church, discipleship was very vital. There was no New Testament, and there was just a few copies of the Old Testament writings, basically kept in synagogues, so it wasn't for everybody to read on a daily basis. Spiritual truths were then conveyed by stories, and they were also conveyed by, as we see, the apostles' letters. And there's two reasons why these letters and these writings were received. And point one being that these disciples and apostles, most of them anyways, had a personal relationship with Christ. So there was relationship. And two, there was relationship again with the people between the apostles. So there was the apostles who had a relationship with Jesus, and then those apostles in turn had a relationship with the people that they taught on some level. So the people accepted that, and that's how the church spread. In our culture, we have kind of lost this method of training through discipleship. For many years now, a lot of our training has been institutionalized, and we have one teacher and many students in sort of the corporate world and in schools and that. And there's very little personal relationship with the teacher, if any at all. And it's more about the subject that you're learning. But in the last few years, it's kind of been interesting. We've seen more of this discipleship attitude coming into the corporate world, as well as even on a personal basis, you go to any gym and you can hire a personal trainer. And it's kind of the same thing. In other words, you're not just learning about something, but someone's walking you through it, and that's kind of the idea. But there are some differences. The world always tries to copy God's principles, but without God, they can't quite get to the fullness of what those principles are. And so there are some differences, and I just wanted to point out some of those differences. It's actually funny timing, but I happen to be in a mentorship program right now. I'm enrolled in the business that I'm in. I'm enrolled in one right now, so I'm actually seeing that as we speak. And so one of the big differences between discipleship and this modern mentoring or coaching is relationship versus assignment. So as we see throughout the scriptures, throughout the gospels, Jesus used relationship was sort of the heart of how he trained his people that he was training, his disciples and that, and even those that he met on the street. It was through relationship. And we see a deep bond. We see when the people came to try to arrest Jesus, Peter drew his sword to protect him. Quite honestly, the fellow that's teaching me, I don't know if I would draw my sword to protect him. he's a nice fellow, but so you do. You have more of an assignment. He's there to help me with certain area of things, but we don't really have a relationship per se. Number two, heart versus habit. As we also read through the Gospels, we see that Jesus looked to the heart of the people. Matthew 9:35-37 talks of this when it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And not only that, but he always looked at the heart of people. He wasn't too concerned with the grubby clothes they wore or what they were actually doing. He looked to their heart. As far as mentoring and coaching, the basis mainly is on the habit. And we need to change this habit. So you're getting an outside-in change, and God wants an inside-out change. So that's a big difference that I have noticed. Number three is the whole person versus a specific area or goal. And the whole person, how many know that we are not just what you see, flesh and blood? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says in farewell to the Thessalonians, he says, "Now may the God of peace be with you, holy in every way, that your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So he mentions three parts to us. The body, which is fairly self-explanatory. We can see each other. The soul, which is the self-conscious part of man. The mind, will, and emotions. And then the spirit, which is the God-conscious part of man, capable of knowing God. In Zechariah 12:1, it says, "This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord." This message is from the Lord, who stretched out the heavens. He laid the foundations of the earth, and he formed the human spirit. And also we know John 4:24 says, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So Jesus encompasses the whole man. And then as we look back again to the mentorship idea, it targets a specific area. And most of the time, it's targeting the physical, what we can see, what we can measure, what we can attain in that way. And which leads us into number four, God-centered and self-centered. So discipleship is all about getting to know God better, and usually with the help of someone else, getting to know God better. And of course, the other way is very self-centered. And as I'm sitting in the course, the main goals that you see are, you know, new cars, and we want to be able to take our kids on a trip, and, you know, we want to have vacation and this and that. So that's the focus, which is to indulge and to basically try to improve yourself and your situation. But God wants us to be disciples and then to grow and to be able to reproduce again and to teach others. General goals of discipleship are to learn a particular outlook in religion or philosophy. Number two, to learn behavior. And three, accountability, building a trust and a transparency. As Dwayne has mentioned before in his teachings, we need to illuminate the dark areas of our lives. And 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from his sins." And then Jesus, just kind of looking at specific goals that Jesus had for discipleship. And I broke that down into five different areas here, really quickly, before the turkey gets burnt. Five different areas. One, first specific goal, was to look to the Father. After all, he is our King, and we live in his kingdom. John 5:30 says, even Jesus said this, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me, therefore my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. So we need to look to the Father. Number two, to be Christ-like. And 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Pretty straightforward. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. 2:21 says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Pretty straightforward. We need to be Christ-like, and he was our example. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us an example just after he was baptized with John the Baptist baptized him. It says in Luke 4:1-2, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit again in the wilderness. There he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And John the Baptist also speaks this of Jesus in John 3:34. He says, for he was sent by God. He speaks God's word, for God gives him the Spirit without limit, it says. And also he encourages us, John 20:21-23, it says, again, he said, peace be with you. This is when Jesus had risen and was discussing things with the disciples. And he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So number four, to love others is number four. Sorry, a little confused. Yeah, so number four is to love others. As we see in Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But the second, and it says, is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And then John 3:16-18 also talks about this. And it's a very good scripture that you should look up. Number five, to reproduce. We serve an unchanging God. And as I was thinking about reproduction, this is part of God's desire and one of his specific goals for us as disciples. And he says in Genesis 1:28, and it's kind of cool that right from the very beginning of man, he told us to reproduce. And in Genesis 1:28, it says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. And that brings us full circle back to Matthew 28:18-19, where it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in conclusion, why a disciple? I think as I studied through this, it became clearer and clearer that we need to always be receiving more of Jesus. And that means help from others at times. So we need to always be receiving more of Jesus. And number two, we need to always be giving out as well more of Jesus. And I think I'm reminded, can't remember if it was here at the retreat that we went to, but I think of the cup, you know, and the cup, it can overflow and a bit can get onto other people, but you know what happens if we pour that cup? And if we pour out more, we can receive more from God. And I think that's kind of the natural order of things, and it works spiritually as well, I believe. And what I want to leave you with today is, you know what? There's always somebody out there that doesn't know God as much as you do or as well as you do. So I think it's our duty, in a sense, to find that person. And then on the other side, there's always someone that knows God a little bit more than us. And I think that also in the same way, we need to seek those people out. And we need to both be giving and receiving, just as that cup. The more we pour it out, the more we need to receive. So I'd just like to pray about that as we close today. And just ask, you know, that it can be tough sometimes. We think that there is nobody around that we can look to. Or vice versa, that there's nobody around that we can maybe bring up and disciple. But I think that's lacking today in our churches in general, and I think that we need to look to each other and grow with each other. So, dear God, I just thank you for this day, Lord. We are so thankful for all the things that you have blessed us with, all the things you have done for us, Lord God. And we also thank you for the things that you can do through us. And I just pray, Lord, as we go on through this week, I ask that you would open our eyes, Lord, to those that we need to disciple, Lord God, or that we need to pour into their lives. Maybe some of them don't even know you yet, Lord God. I just pray that you would help us to see those ones, to give us the words to say, and to show us what to do for them, Lord. And likewise, help us to be involved with people, Lord, that know you better, that can point to you and direct us, and that we can grow, Lord, in you. And I just thank you for that, Lord, and praise your name. Amen. That's it.